This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, 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 bring them out.
Welcome in to Cap and Jay Hood. Weekday morning, 7 to 10, right here on ESPN 1000. What's up? Good morning. Hey, it's Black and Abdallah. We're up early. What's going on here?
It's way too early. I've had trying to talk to Shay and Jake this morning. I've had the brain fog, and I don't know if it's because we've been off for 5 days or because it's so early. It's probably because of both. So this should be fun.
Well, usually you hear us, Black and Abdallah, 6 to 8 weeknights right here on ESPN 1000. At this time of year, it's dark during our show. So the fact that it's dark this morning,
yeah,
the sun
is
just coming up, and we are seeing State Street in its sleepy state at this moment. Normal for us because we're used to this at night.
Yeah, I'm used. My body is being tricked right now to think it's 6 o'clock at night because of the light outside, the lack of people, how tired some people are, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's fine. We're here. It's early. We're talking Bears. So you want to start baseball? Let's start. No, we're not going to start baseball.
Well, there is news to get to overnight, and we will start with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
I have a thought on Justin Fields for you in just a second. If you're just waking up today, though, the Bulls win last night in Miami over the Miami Heat, 113-103. We'll discuss Zach LaVine and the issues behind the scenes with the Chicago Bulls. We'll get to that this morning.
We've all fought behind the scenes, right?
How about this? Breaking news this morning. The Mets have signed Carlos Correa. Hold up. Wait, I thought he was going to be... He signed with the Giants. He failed his physical, and the Mets swoop in with all their bags of money. Boom. Correa is a Met. That's crazy information
failed
this morning.
Failed his physical. Did the... Oh, my leg. And then what? How do you fail a physical and then get signed by the next team? No, he got the U up text.
No,
did a little coughing.
The next team's not. They don't care. They're just gonna here we go. We're gonna sign him.
We don't need the physical. Don't care.
So we'll get into that as well because if you look at the ownership for the New York Mets, they are spending so much money in this offseason. Steve Cohen and his group just signing players, going for a championship. And I think the topic there is in Chicago sports. You got to wake up and realize that the landscape of professional sports is changing before our eyes. If you're an owner and you don't want to spend money on free agents, you're not going to win at a high level. And we can look at it amongst many different sports, baseball, the NBA, the NFL. If you're not spending at a high level, chances are you will not be winning at a high level. And I feel it's a direct piece of commentary when you look at our city here in Chicago. There's a lot of mom and pop going on in this city where it's just the way it was is the way it is. And that's how we're going to operate our franchises. And unfortunately, when you look around the rest of professional sports, it's about billionaires spending their cash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what professional sports is today.
See, I kind of disagree with you, though, because I feel like this is the way it's always been. Like, the Yankees have always spent the most money, and they have they have all the rings. Like, not recent success, but they've never been ones to shy away from just saying, oh, there's no salary cap? Sure, let's just spend whatever because we're rich, and we'll just do that. Look at the Warriors always have been found ways to spend money, to bring in Kevin Durant to get another championship. Like, there's always been teams, unless you have the greatness that is Michael Jordan, which the Bulls had. They had the best player of all time. Then you can be cheap with your other players, right? Because you have the best player of all time. Look at, I know that the NFL has a salary cap, but the Cowboys have always had the best facilities and the newest stadium and all that. Like, think about it when they first opened Jerry World. This is
sure.
Like, this is insane. And, like, players loved that Jerry World, but they're always in the mix for the top free agents because they're like, oh, you want to play for us? Well, we'll find a way to make it work. It's backfiring on the Rams now about all the money that they've spent and, you know, F the picks and all that kind of stuff. But they've never shied away from being like, hey, we have a window here. Let's just spend a bunch of money. It sucks that everyone on their team got hurt and they're bad right now. But in sports, to me, this has always been a thing. And I go back when we're talking baseball and look at what the Yankees have done. Like, the Yankees are always, and look at the Dodgers in recent years. They've all just said, you know what? Screw it. No salary cap. We'll pay the luxury tax. Doesn't matter. We'll just keep going. Same with the Warriors. All their recent success. You know what? There's a luxury tax. Doesn't matter. We're going to keep winning. We're going to keep playing. The fact that this is the third largest market in the country and the teams don't feel like they need to spend. The White Sox just handed out their biggest contract ever. It was $75 million. Right. I woke up this morning, Correa signed $400 million. Like, it's like $75 million is your biggest contract? That's insane. Look at the Bulls, not willing to go into the luxury tax, what it's cost them and what it might be costing them in the future. Now, the Bears are a different situation, obviously, because there's a salary cap in the NFL, but they do have the most amount of money.
You can spend elsewhere, though.
But the Bears have never been... The thing is, the Bears have never been cheap with it, right? Like, look at all... Look, they're just spending it poorly. Like, look at all the money they gave Andy Dalton and all this kind of stuff.
My pushback on that is, why is the story, the big story around the Bears... There's two storylines here. There's the development of Justin Fields. And then I saw again on the news last night a piece about a possible stadium in Arlington Heights.
Yeah.
Why is that a piece of news? Because to this point, the Bears have not spent on a... world-class stadium.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, up until this point, they haven't spent in places where you can, that's outside of the team,
yes,
to get your franchise to the high level that we're talking about, with the Mets signing Carlos Correa overnight for a 12-year, $315 million deal. It's crazy.
Well, and to me, this goes into, so back to the Bears spending, right? Like, you can spend, like, the stadium to me is different. When I watched the game on Sunday against the Eagles, I know that everyone with the second pick or third pick or whatever it ends up being is saying Jalen Carter, Will Anderson, all that good stuff. But as far as their money goes, dude, if they can't protect Justin Fields, what is the point of all this? What's the point? Like, I know everybody wants that stud defensive lineman, defensive end. Everybody wants that. But if you're not going to you have to spend that $100 million, right? And if the best offensive tackle's out there, the best offensive lineman is out there, what's the point? Like, everybody wants to watch Justin Fields. Everyone is afraid that Justin Fields is going to get hurt in these next three games as they play the Bills on Saturday. If you're not, to me, the number one thing you need to do in this offseason is find a way to protect Justin Fields. I know the offensive line has played better, but you, as is evident on Sunday, they're not always going to stay healthy, and you need more weapons. If Justin Fields is the priority of the franchise, you need to prove that he's the priority of the franchise and add on that offensive line and add some offensive weapons. Defense, I get it. You want to draft it. You want to develop a defense. You can't be the worst defense in the league. I thought that they played well on Sunday against the Eagles up until a certain point, but they held their own against one of the best offenses in the NFL. You have to find a way to protect Justin Fields, or else what's the point of this?
Pluck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, filling in for Cap and Jay Hood. If you want to join the conversation this morning, you can call us at 312-332-3776. We're talking Bears with you. There's also one other piece of news this morning that you need to know. Franco Harris, Hall of Fame running back from the Steelers, passed away at age 72. And the Steelers and the Raiders play that anniversary game on Christmas Eve coming up. The NFL is going to celebrate the Immaculate Reception with that 50th anniversary game on Saturday night, mm-hmm, on Christmas Eve. And sad news for Steelers fans. So that's the news this morning. And we're talking Bears with you at 312-332-3776. And Abdallah brings up a great point with Justin Fields, because here's the one thing that I continue to see with Justin Fields. We have seen quarterbacks who are hyped in the past. We have seen the next great guy continue to fail. And what I've seen now from Justin Fields as each week passes is he continues to push past the benchmarks that we set for him as a developing quarterback. What I mean by that is, I think in the last 2 weeks specifically, we have seen Justin Fields grow into a guy who is a budding superstar. Now, do all of the stats match? I would say no. But I feel as if he's starting to make plays within the pocket, escaping, looking downfield. That touchdown pass that he had at the end of the game against the Eagles, now I get it. They don't win the football game. They do cover, though. And as Justin Fields becomes a more dangerous quarterback and the Bears continue to get over a touchdown points as far as an underdog, I continue to think to myself, this guy's worth betting on because no matter the situation, he's going to be there scoring points. I think the quarterback rating of 119.5 last week against the Eagles is huge. Two touchdowns, no interceptions. Mm-hmm. We go to the week before against the Packers. He goes 20 for 25. Great completion percentage. And we continue to see a quarterback develop and continue to push past the development stages that we suggest. There's adversity there, right? You head into this Eagles game on Sunday. There were no receivers to be had. Who was he throwing to? There was a guy out there that I've never even heard of before who's catching passes. Webster?
Yeah.
He was out there in the preseason,
Simba?
Right?
Nasimba
Webster?
Yeah.
He was in there in the preseason. Yeah. I know he's on the team, but my point being is Justin Fields is legit out there by himself mm-hmm. and pushing past different benchmarks that you would say we need to see from a quarterback who's developing. And I get it that Trevor Lawrence at this point is playing great football as well. But I think the conclusion that we'll have at the end of the season is it seems as if the NFL has two more guys to add to the group of young, talented quarterbacks, just like what we saw last year with Herbert and Burrow. And the young quarterbacks continue to push past what we expect from them, especially when you have a guy in Justin Fields who has nothing around him. And I would say that the piece of this that's so encouraging to me is that very idea. He has nothing around him. He has a bad offensive line. He has no wide receivers. And Justin Fields continues to excel. And that is something that I am so encouraged by with the development of the quarterback. And I'm a little surprised that more people are not positive on this development that we've seen from Fields in the last 2 weeks. Guys, it's here. He's a budding superstar. And the numbers haven't completely matched that yet. But I feel as if what we've seen, the eye test, this guy has it all. And it's only a matter of time before the team, Ryan Poles, places enough around him. And he starts to have those stats where everyone starts to suggest he's a budding superstar. And that's something where I wanted to start with you on this, because I feel like in the last 2 weeks specifically, anyone who has had doubt over Justin Fields because of the run game, he is now showing you with his arm that he can get it done. And it's been very impressive to see in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you heard it from Matt Eberflus when he talked to the media after the game, and he was saying, hey, what do you think of Justin Fields throwing the ball? And his response was, well, yeah, when he's got time, he's great. That's being said by your head coach. When he's got time, he's being great. Justin Fields is putting up these kind of numbers despite being sacked a league high 46 times. And it's not like a huge gap. Like Russell Wilson, Daniel Jones, they've each been sacked 43 and 41 times. So the sacks are up there for both those players. But what do those players have? Like Russell Wilson, we know, isn't good anymore. That Broncos team is awful. Daniel Jones and the Giants are okay. But to me, Justin Fields, out of those three quarterbacks, I trust Justin Fields the most. He's the future out of those three quarterbacks. And you have to find ways to protect him because he's shown you. The last 2 weeks, he's had great games passing the football, right? We went away from a lot of the run stuff. He did run the ball a lot against the Eagles, but as far as having that 150 yards a game, went away from that and is focusing more on throwing the football. The problem was he was sacked a bunch of times because he's got no time back there. And as you saw the offensive linemen start to drop around him and the second stringers come in, the third stringers come in, depth on this team is so important. And that's why I'm saying you have to go spend your money on a guy like Orlando Brown Jr. and make a splash in free agency on the offensive line. Because if you're going to be staying at 2 or 3 and get that defensive end or defensive lineman or whatever you want to and not move back, you need to find someone to anchor that defense who's going to protect Justin Fields. And if that's how you spend your money, like you're not going to be this mom and pop shop anymore with your $100 million that you've been touting all year, you need to spend that money and figure out how to protect the future of this franchise and could be one of the faces of the NFL.
What do you think, Bears fans? You can call us at 312-332-3776. Justin Fields, has he shown you he's a superstar in the making in the last couple of weeks? We'll take your calls. It's Black and Abdallah in for Cap and Jay Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000. You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Mm-hmm. It's Captain Jay Hood with Black and Abdallah filling in. How about that? Sparkles, take that. Take that.
I'm surprised we're allowed to be in here.
Know.
I'm surprised he didn't see the schedule. Wait, he'd have to look at the schedule. I'm surprised he didn't find out that we were in and was like, not on my watch.
Well, they couldn't get anyone else, so it's you and me this
morning. That's
true.
It's thin during the holidays, man.
Black and Abdallah filling in for Cap and Jay Hood. We're talking Bears football with you at 312-332-3776. Have you seen enough from Justin Fields over the last 2 weeks? I have. I think what we saw against the Packers, completion percentage, boom. He's in the pocket making smart decisions against the Eagles. How about being tough? That dude is tough. He comes back onto the field at the end. There's no reason for Justin to be out there at the end of the game.
No.
He's spinning touchdowns. He's throwing. He's getting out of the pocket. He's finding open wide receivers. I like that. That's exactly what I wanted to see. Lewis in Broadview, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, good morning. What's up, guys? I just wanted to say that Justin Fields is the real deal. He's going to be the real deal for a very long time in the NFL, and I'm predicting a Super Bowl here in the future. You're going to see Justin Fields go against Joe Burrow.
All right, we got it down. Lewis, at 7:20 a.m., Super Bowl in the future for the Chicago Bears.
I mean, I got to see what they add, right? Like, everything is predicated on this offseason. This is a huge offseason for Ryan Poles and the Bears, right? Having over $100 million in cap space, having all these draft picks, having this high of a draft pick. I mean, you're coming off of a draft where I would argue he's had more hits than misses. However, that one miss that he's had with Velus Jones is a very big miss.
Chase Claypool?
I like Chase Claypool. I think it's unfair to... I mean, look at how long it took Justin Fields and the Bears to come out and play better offense and play this full system that they're running. Like, I would argue that they should have come out earlier and done and played the way they're playing against Washington the week before that mini bye. But they had to take 10 extra days to figure out when to install this system. And, like, you still see some miscommunication with wide receivers that are out there. I would say give Chase Claypool a full offseason with Justin Fields and the Bears and this playbook. And, like, because right now, obviously, it doesn't matter. I want to see more chemistry. But give them an entire offseason, and I think he'll be better.
You know, watching the games over the weekend, each week I continue to solidify my opinion that I had a couple weeks ago. The Bears' number one need in the offseason is a number one wide receiver. No ifs, ands, or buts. Mm-hmm. Fields has not gotten killed. Has he been killed?
Has he been killed? He has not been killed.
Has he been killed?
But there's been times you're like, no.
For sure.
Yeah.
He has not been killed yet.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The offensive line has done an okay job.
Yeah.
They've done an okay job.
Yeah.
You know what he needs? He needs a number one guy. He needs a guy who can get open on third downs. He needs a guy who's a game changer at wide receiver. That is the number one absolute need for this team in the offseason, whether it be with a draft pick in the first round, whether it be in free agency. There's no one in free agency.
Not yet.
So it sounds as if that first draft pick needs to be on a wide receiver, wherever that is.
Yeah.
Top five, move back, top 10, top 15. That's the absolute number one need. Oh, no. Here we go. Eddie on the north side.
It's too early for
this. Here we go, Eddie. What's up?
Hey, boys. But the first thing first off, there is no good defenses in the NFL this season or even the past season.
You don't like the Eagles?
The Eagles are no good for you?
Eddie, no Eagles there?
San Francisco doesn't have a good defense?
San Francisco is no good?
Their defense gives up a lot of points, too.
Yeah? Okay.
All of them do.
Yeah.
Every single
Jets are no good.
Kansas City does. All of them do.
Dallas and Michael Parsons, no good.
So to the New point England of the other thing is, everybody's saying that, they have nobody here, nobody here, nobody here. Every player that's in the NFL got drafted to the top echelon of where you need to go. You got drafted to the NFL. So all of them have talent. Maybe some of them are in wrong spots, but like Daniel Jones, he's passing to a guy that got drafted in the fifth round last week's game, and they won the game. As much as everybody talks bad about the guy, you know what? They win games. And I think the defense is bad all around the league is because of all the running quarterbacks, not just Justin Fields. But when it gets to the playoffs, they get checkmarked, and these defensive coordinators, they nail them down and they stop them. And you know that throughout the history of it all. Look at when Lamar Jackson, who's the top running quarterback, when he got to the playoffs, he was done. He might even be done now.
So let me get this straight. Eddie, let me get this straight. You're discrediting quarterbacks who run, yet your thesis for this point is that there are no good defenses in the NFL because quarterbacks can run. Is that correct? Is that what I'm hearing here? You don't like quarterbacks who can run, but there are no good defenses because quarterbacks who run break good defenses in today's NFL. Is that correct?
It's hard for them to cover and plan for the running quarterbacks, which is coming. You'll see even this next coming year, all these quarterbacks that get drafted to the NFL, I guarantee them all of them are going to run. Because they're running because they can't sit in the pocket and pass it.
Who's your guy in college, JT Daniels? Is that your guy? You like statues back there?
Didn't he just transfer to Rice?
Yeah, again. His fourth school. Is that what you like? You like a quarterback that just stands back there and waits? Is that your guy?
Eddie's a big Mac Jones guy.
Yeah,
look at Lawrence in Jacksonville.
He can move.
He's leaps and bounds ahead of Justin Fields right now as an NFL quarterback.
I wouldn't say leaps and bounds.
I would say they're both doing
absolutely.
Well.
Look at his stats.
Look at all their stats, though. Stop looking at one part of the box score. All touchdowns count the same.
He also has wide receivers and offensive skill players around him.
If Justin Fields didn't run anything this year, you look at his stats as a quarterback for these past 2 years, he's a third or a fourth stringer.
But he does run, Eddie. He does run. He runs.
A third or fourth
stringer. He runs. That's the point.
What are you talking about?
He keeps defenses honest because he can run the ball. He's dynamic. What? That's the new NFL.
Just look at his passing stats. What would you say about that quarterback?
If you're not gonna transition to the modern NFL, you might as well just spend Sundays playing Call of Duty.
So modern NFL is just running quarterbacks?
Yes, modern NFL is dual threat quarterbacks. Josh Allen is in the modern NFL. Patrick Mahomes, modern NFL.
Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and did they win?
They should have won the Super Bowl.
Well, they didn't.
You watched it.
I did
they
watch
should have won. The Rams had the better defense.
And
what
now
are you talking
and now
about?
Yeah, there's no good defenses. The best
no
defense
good defenses
won the NFL,
because
won
of
the
running quarterbacks.
It's too early for this.
Eddie, go put on a highlight tape of the 85
prediction.
Bears
here's
and enjoy
my
your
prediction.
Day.
As I predicted with Andrew Luck, and everybody said I was crazy.
Running
Justin
quarterback,
Fields
by the way.
Yeah, Andrew Luck ran the ball.
Will never, ever win a Super Bowl in the NFL. You can mark that down.
All right, we're marking it at 727. These comments will come back when Fields is hoisting the Super Bowl trophy.
Okay. I guarantee it. He will never win a Super Bowl.
All right, Eddie. Thank you.
All right, guys, boys. Have a good day.
You too, Eddie.
Yeah, hit
man, it is too early. No, Jake Cantu and Shane Norling are here every day. And they warned us it's early. Oh, boy.
That was a pretty standard Eddie call, to be honest. Nothing out of left field there. Pretty standard for Eddie on the north side.
Nick in Portage Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Hello, Nick.
How we doing, boys?
You know, we just talked to Eddie, so.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know what kind of stuff Eddie's smoking, but I kind of want some because he is out there, man.
I don't.
No, what I was going to say, though, is I hear a lot of you guys on ESPN talking about there's not a really great free agent wide receiver class coming up, and I agree, it's not great. But I think people like, they've kind of given up on Kenny Galladay out in New York. Marvin Jones Jr., they're not, 1A or even 1 receivers. But if you can get a couple of those guys cheap until there is a good free agent class, I think that bolster up our wide receiver corp a little bit. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, fair point, Nick. Thanks for the phone call. I mean, there's just not a number one. There's certainly guys who can add to the depth of the Bears wide receiver group, but I think once you find that number one guy, things are going to kind of fall into place behind the number one guy with Mooney and Claypool and St. Brown and who you have collected at this point. And maybe Harry adds to the mix next year.
Well, here's the problem, too. Like, I'm looking at 2024's wide receiver class.
Yeah.
It's not good either.
Yeah, you have to draft someone and keep them.
Well, not only do you have to draft someone, and I don't think you're going to, here's the problem with the draft this year. We do a lot of quote draft work because we watch a lot of college football, right?
Yeah.
So
conversations, yeah. We like talking about the NFL
draft. I look at every mock draft when it comes out, you know, on ESPN, McShay, all this kind of stuff, and Kuiper, and they're even saying, and the other draft analysts are saying that this isn't actually this year is not a good year for wide receivers. This is a weaker.
Wow.
If you look at the last 5 years, right? The last 5 years have been very wide receiver heavy. This year is probably the worst one in the last 5 years. It's very top heavy.
And that's why in your first 15 picks, you're going to have to take a wide receiver.
But they don't have, like, you're not going to draft a wide receiver third.
Well, you move second. Back. You move back to like 9 or 11, yeah. And you take Smith and Jigba.
But what about Jalen Carter? But what about Will Anderson? How are we supposed to get to the quarterback if we don't have a good defense?
Sir, you're going to be frozen this weekend with your beef and beer out at Soldier Field.
Bear weather. It's bear weather. Chris, what are we supposed to do? I got my Jardiniere here. I got everything.
Frozen.
You can see the Jardiniere.
Frozen Jardiniere.
Frozen to my mustache. You can see it.
Yeah.
No, we need defense. That wins championships.
This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000. Cap, Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Can I kick it? Kick it.
It's Cap and Jay Hood with Black and Abdallah filling in this morning here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. If you're just waking up today, the Bulls win in Miami 113-103, but there's drama behind the scenes. We'll discuss that a little bit later on. The Mets have signed Carlos Correa. That's right. You went to bed last night. You thought Correa was a giant. He failed his physical, and the Mets swoop in with a pile of cash. 12-year, $315 million deal. Now, Correa does have to pass a physical with the Mets, but it seems as if they're not as concerned as the Giants' medical staff were. So here come the Mets with Steve Cohen and a bunch of money. Cohen has almost spent $800 million in this offseason for the New York Mets.
Good.
And then also, sadly, Franco Harris, the running back Hall of Famer from the Steelers, passed away at 72. So that's the news you need to know this morning. Black and Abdallah filling in for Cap and Jay Hood. Alex on the north side. We're talking Bears here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alex?
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going?
We're good. What's up?
Hey, so I just wanted to say I'm a big fan of you two.
Thank
you. But, Chris, that take you have about drafting a wide receiver, I don't agree with it.
Okay. Tell me why.
Most quarterbacks have sustained success when they have an offensive line to defend them, you know, to keep all these huge linemen off of them. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Justin Fields has given up, they've given up a lot of sacks against him. So definitely, I think offensive line and then defensive line, you need to shore it up, have someone attack the quarterback of the other team.
Yeah, and those are fair points, Alex. Here's where I'll come back at you with this. My thought on the wide receiver is when you watch other teams, the best teams in the NFL, a part of the special sauce that makes them so great is a number one stud. You go back to that Eagles game against the Bears. What was the play that broke the game open? It was A.J. Brown getting open, was it not? And yes, Hurts found him and he had time. So you're right. The quarterback does need time. But I feel as if part of the reason the Bengals are so dangerous is because of the brilliance of Joe Burrow, but his ability to have a guy always find a way to be open in Ja'Marr Chase. I would say the reason the Dolphins hung with the Bills last Saturday night wasn't because Tua had time. It was because Tyreek Hill was getting open. He's a number one guy. I feel as if the piece that you absolutely have to have in today's NFL to hang in games or to be a top team. Now, I know there is the one caveat of the Chiefs because Mahomes is otherworldly. So he can kind of get away with being so great without a number one guy. All of the other great teams have a number one wide receiver. That, to me, is the most important piece to add to Justin Fields' development.
Right. Do you think that they should take best available then? Like, if it's a second pick, shouldn't it be Jalen Carter, or should they just reach for a wide receiver?
No, you don't reach. You move back. So you, you're ideally you're picking in the bottom of the top 10, and you're collecting another draft pick. If you have to stay at number two or number three, I think you're right, Alex. You select the defensive player there because you don't reach. But we have seen to this point, Ryan Poles has seemed a bit desperate to fill the wide receiver problem, right? He missed on Velus Jones, and now he goes and trades a second-round pick in season for Chase Claypool.
Sorry. Had something in my throat there.
It's all right. Good, Alex. All good. Appreciate the call, Alex.
All right, gentlemen, I appreciate your time.
Yep. All right, man.
Thanks, Alex.
Yes, have a nice day.
You too.
I think if you look at the way the draft shakes out, the last mock draft from McShay was about 8 days ago last week. So if you look at it, the first offensive lineman is Skoronski from Northwestern at 7 to the Colts. The next one after that is Paris Johnson Jr., the offensive tackle from Ohio State to the Steelers. So you're not taking an offensive lineman in the top five, right? The way it's shaking out now, there probably is going to be a team. There always is. There's always a team. Like, you could be like, oh, it's a one quarterback draft. Oh, it's only a two quarterback draft. There's always a team that gets itchy that wants to move up. Look, the Bears did it a few years, like how many years ago with Mitch Trubisky? They got itchy and they moved up one spot for Trubisky. Like, it will happen. So you might find a trade partner, whether it's at two or three, to move back into the draft, and then you just kind of let it fall to you. If an offensive tackle's there, you take the offensive tackle. If a good wide receiver's there, they've got the first wide receiver going off the board at 13 to Jacksonville, Quentin Johnson. Oh, look, the Jacksonville Jaguars helping out their quarterback once again, getting the best wide receiver in this class with Quentin Johnson, the wide receiver out of TCU. Like, yeah, people will say, oh, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best wide receiver, but he doesn't come out for a year. You've got to wait a whole year for that. So maybe that's in the cards. If you only win six or seven games next year, maybe you have an opportunity there. But I would expect this team, as we've talked about before, that if you have over $100 million to spend and you do have a full complement of draft picks and you have Justin Fields, that I'm not saying that the playoffs are necessary next year, but you better win a handful of games next year. You better be in the mix next year if Justin Fields plays the way he's playing now and you help him out. Like, you have to be. If you spend all this money and you do all this stuff, that's why I'm looking at maybe trading back to try to get more picks to make this team even better.
Chris in Northbrook, you're on ESPN 1000, talking Bears with Black and Abdallah. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to tell you guys a big thank you. You two and Peggy and Dion have reinvigorated my desire to flip on sports radio.
Oh, thank you.
Really, thanks, Chris.
Oh, I really enjoy you guys, your college football stuffs. The best around. Actually made a couple shekels thanks to some of your picks.
Shout out.
So you guys are top dogs in my radio world. Wanted to follow up with you. You said, yeah, Justin Fields definitely did make some good chicken salad out of chicken poop. No question there. And I wanted to bring up how Cole Kmet has been resurrected.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, about 10 weeks ago, everybody was ready to throw him on the scrap heap. But now he's looking good. Do you think they is this a contract year or no?
I don't believe so yet.
No.
But Chris, I think you make a good point. Heading into the season, it was Justin Fields was the most important person that you needed to see some development from. Number two was Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet has stepped up to the challenge. I think he's been great this year. Can he take another step in development? Sure, but I feel as if he really has become a go-to guy for the quarterback, and that's exactly what we needed to see in the offseason.
No, he's not a free agent until 2024, so you've got a year left. And, you know, going into the season, I agreed with you. I said there were three players that I'm giving an absolute clean slate to. Justin Fields, Cole Kmet, and Eddie Jackson. And I think all have stepped up. I know people still don't like Eddie Jackson because he misses tackles or whatever, but look at how bad when he was injured, when he's injured now, some of those plays in the secondary are. He was coming into his own. He was having interceptions again. He was playing well again in this new scheme. I thought that this new scheme would help him out, and it did, and I think he can be productive again for you next year, but definitely Justin Fields, Cole Kmet, and Eddie Jackson, those three players have all performed well so far this season in this new Matt Eberflus system.
We go to Robert in Green Bay, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Robert?
Robert?
Good morning, guys.
Hello.
Robbie. Robert.
How you doing?
Robert. What's up, man? Hello?
Hello?
You there?
Yeah.
Robert?
Robert.
Can you hear me?
Bob.
We got you.
We got you.
My question is...
Hello?
I listened to the caller before. And he was talking about how Justin Fields is, you know, a third-string quarterback. He's not a third-string quarterback.
Call him out He's by not, name. His name is Eddie.
His name is Eddie, and he lives on the north side.
Yeah. He doesn't watch football like how we watch it. We're not
With
back
our
in
eyes.
Yeah, we're not back in the 70s or 80s. We're in the, you know, 2000. Now, if I was the Bears and I'm sitting at the second pick, I would probably move back to get more picks to fill up more holes on our team. We need offensive line. You got to fix that offensive line first before you fix your defense. You got to protect your quarterback before you go after the quarterback on defense. And, you know, I look at our team and I look at Philadelphia. We're kind of similar. We're going to probably do the similar thing that Philly did. We'll get a stud wide receiver. I would go get that guy out of TCU. I forgot his name. I'm not a big college guy, but
Johnston.
Yeah, Michael Johnson.
Yeah, him or someone else that, you know, because look what Philly did. Philly went and got Smith first. Then okay, we're going to go trade for AJ Brown. That's what the Bears should do. I like Chase Claypool.
It's okay.
You know, I keep telling people he came in the middle of the season. He's not going to know that playbook. Like I agree with both of you guys. Give him a year with Justin Fields. Maybe we got something, you know, in him that he could be that number one guy, and then Moody could be the number two guy. And to me, I would keep most of the receivers. I'm not blaming that they can't get open, but you got to protect them. You got to protect Justin Fields so your receivers can get open so he can throw the ball. To me, I think Justin Fields did a leap. Everybody was talking, oh, he's not this, he's not that, like they were talking about Cole Kmet. Give this whole team a time, because next year I think they can probably go and be competitive next year, because you got money. You can go get a Forrest Buckner. You can go get Ngakoue Esau. You can go get all these defensive players and offensive players, like Orlando Brown. I'll throw a bag at him. Okay, you're gonna block my blind side. Then you're gonna see Justin Fields not scrambling, you know, so much, and he's gonna, you know, he see the field, you know, downfield.
Thanks for the call, Robert. Appreciate you.
Yep.
He said holes, right?
I think so.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bow, 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 bow.
And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
With Black and Abdallah filling in less than 10 minutes, we will have Shot or No Shot with Shane Norling right here on ESPN 1000. It's the best segment all day long.
Oh,
Shot
yeah.
or No Shot. People
favorite.
Speak about Shot or No Shot in the hallways here,
no shot.
Behind the scenes, on the streets of Chicago. People are walking up to strangers saying, hey, Shot or No Shot, buddy, pal, sport.
Yeah.
It's crazy the way it's taken over the city.
You know, Chris, you can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000.
Yes, you can.
And Capital Czar is in the Twitch chat.
Sure.
And he makes a good point.
Okay.
For all of our early risers,
it's early, man.
We have to say, and Twitch is brought to you by DraftKings, we have to say the Bears have no talent.
But they the have Bears, some. No, they have Justin Fields.
The Bears don't have enough talent.
He's a talented player.
He makes
player.
A good point. There's a few people out there that play the Cap and Jay Hood drinking game. We've been 54 minutes in. They're
so
going through
sober,
some. They're going through some withdrawal. It's the holiday season.
They're got going, the shakes.
They were starting to, you know, do the.
They got the
itch,
shakes.
The neck itch real quick.
All right.
So for them,
yes.
For them,
the Bears have no
talent.
Good job on you, Adam, making sure that people are keeping up with their alcohol.
Well, I just don't want people to go through withdrawal. It's the holiday season.
That's a public service that you just did.
I tried.
Daddy, like
it. How about an early shot or no shot? Cap knows that the Cap and Jay Hood drinking game exists.
Daddy, like it.
And for those who play the Black and Abdallah drinking game, I will have you know that the Bears are playing the number one team in overall DVOA.
Oh, yeah, pretty good.
So Daddy, like it.
Drink for that, too. So that's
When's
two
Black's
drinks.
Hall of Fame induction?
What?
When's Black's Hall of Fame induction? Daddy likey.
Abdallah, you and I, we host weeknights here at ESPN 1000 from 6 to 8 p.m. each and every night. It's unusual for us to be on the air where the sunlight is out now.
Yeah.
So good morning. We are at night the dog show of record here at the station.
Dog show?
Dog show!
Dogs, bossy dogs,
and quiet dogs.
Dog show.
I saw this in the Washington Post. The most popular people names for dogs. Now, here on the show, Jake Cantu and Shay Norling are producing today. They both have dogs. We have dogs.
Hold on.
Yeah. What do you have?
The people names for dogs.
The most popular people names for dogs.
So, like, dogs named Peter.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
I thought like dog people have given dogs names or dogs with people names. Right? Dogs with people names.
You lost me on that one.
So people's dogs names or dogs with people names. What is
dogs
it?
Dogs who have people names.
Okay, there you go. All right. Dogs who have people
Did I
names.
Say something else?
You said people's dogs names.
The so most popular people names for dogs.
Yeah, okay. We're on the same page. Like dogs named Jack. And
Doug. Don't dare me to go back to sleep.
And Doug.
What about dog
names for people? I'll just go home right now and go back to sleep.
Dog names for people?
This was in the Washington Post, and they said the Atlantic noticed a trend in dog names after human. So dogs that are named after humans. And they wondered, how common is that? And so they researched off of 61,000 dogs available for adoption. And then they cross-referenced that with Social Security records dating back to the 1800s of people names. So, Abdallah, my dog's name is Gus. So they have this little feature on their website. You can type in the name, and it will tell you if the name is a dog name or a people name.
Okay.
So I type Gus into the search there, and it says Gus is a dog name. So my dog, Gus, has a dog name. It said in the database, there were only five people that cross-referenced that were actually named Gus. Most of them, 61, were dogs. So most Gus's that you see or meet will be a dog.
Okay.
So your dog's name is?
Penny.
So Penny, let's type in Penny.
It's not short for Penelope, it's just Penny.
And we search Penny, and Penny is a dog's name.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. 154 dogs are named Penny. Where only 27 people were named Penny.
Even after, like, Penny Lane
so
or
there,
Penny.
So there you go. Dog name. Shay, your dog's name is?
Stout, like a beer.
Stout. Stout is searched, and that is 100% dog name.
It's a dog name.
It says five dogs named Stout, zero people.
See, only five dogs? See how unique that is?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Jake, your dog's name?
I got a hillbilly. Billy. B-I-L-L-I-E.
That's
Billy.
A people name.
So after Billie Eilish.
After Billie Eilish.
That's interesting.
Please tell me you named it after Billie Eilish.
My girlfriend named it after Billie Eilish.
Wow.
Tough break. It's a tough break this morning. Billy is a mostly human name.
Okay.
20 dogs, 37 people are named Billy. So most dogs are named, most humans are named Billy over the dogs.
My wife changed our dog's name when she adopted our dog.
What was it?
Sadie.
Sadie.
S-A-D-I-E. Sadie.
Sadie.
And she changed it because she was like, I don't think she looks like a Sadie.
Most Sadies are dogs.
Oh, okay.
216 dogs, 37 people.
All right.
Let's try this one. Adam.
No, that's a people name.
Let's see. Adam. Oh, mostly a human name. Yeah. Okay.
Who names a dog Adam?
20 people. There are 20 dogs Adam. 157
what is wrong
people.
With you people.
All right. Let's see. Shay. Let's see Shay. Let's what do we got here?
S-H-E-A, by the way. Got to get it right.
I have it. S-H-E-A. Mostly dog.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Hey, man.
Well, I
all
mean.
Right. One more. K-A-P. Let's see. Cap. Let's see how many. Name not found. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
No.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.